Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. with Celeste Hackett. But unless this is the first time you've ever seen our program, you know that for a few weeks, Celeste Hackett is sitting out, and we've got a special co-host, Kelsey Banyan, my daughter, sitting in. Say hello to everyone, Kelsey.
Hello, everyone.
All right. Hey, this is the fun, interesting, and sometimes controversial show, Hypnosis, Etc. We talk about hypnosis. We talk about hypnosis in the news. We talk about hypnosis in the profession and issues that, gosh, are of interest to people in the profession of hypnotism. Once in a while, you'll see me look down here. I am looking at my screen. I've got a whole bunch of things that I want to remember to talk to you about today. And Kelsey is also going to help me remember. Oh, by the way, speaking of remembering, if you're watching this show anywhere except calbanyan.com, you're probably going to want to go there because we have all of the show notes and links and resources that we talk about during the show right down there. Right down there. And that's where the links are. They call the show notes. And it's on our blog, calbanyan.com. Okay, let's see. Kelsey, can you kind of give us an overview of what we're going to cover today?
Well, first I'd like to start out with some feedback on a couple of our past podcasts that have featured myself. And then we also have a question or two from Ask Cal on the Our Hypnospace group. And we also have a dumb hypnotist joke today.
Beautiful. Why don't you start with some of the feedback?
All right. Well, I picked this one because it says nice things about me. I just wanted to say that Kelsey did a wonderful job and brought her own unique energy to the show. It was a nice change of pace, and Celeste, better watch out. And then there's a smiley face. I'm just joking, Celeste. I would love to see Kelsey involved in more podcasts. Great podcast and great information as always.
Beautiful. Well, I'm really proud of the job you're doing. I think you're doing great. You heard about this little bit of work at short notice, and I think you've really, really doing great. So anything else? Any more feedback?
No, I think that was the best one that I could find.
Okay. All right, let's see. Let's get right into it, and you can tell me maybe a question that showed up on Ask Cal.
All right, this is from the Ask Cal group. I met with a new client of mine who wanted to quit smoking today. I went through the pre-talk and answered all of the client's questions that he asked me. After finishing up and getting permission to begin, I decided to go with the Dave Elman induction. My client passed all the tests except the numbers. After he got to number 97, he opened his eyes, and I asked him what was wrong. He told me that speaking the numbers or talking while in hypnosis made him feel very strange. I tried to address the fear and ask if he had any reason why, and of course he said he didn't know, and everything I tried to do didn't help either. Well, Cal, my problem is how do I get this guy to the working state of hypnosis if I can't eliminate his fear that is keeping him from getting there? The moment I try to ask him to speak in hypnosis, he just opens his eyes. Also, what could cause a fear of feeling strange while talking in hypnosis? Any help or insight into this would be wonderful.
All right. Well, that's a very good question. And what is that person coming in to see? Who's this from?
This is from Josh.
Okay. Josh's client is coming in for what issue?
Stop smoking.
Ah, see, stop smoking clients can be very conflicted. So I took some notes I've got down here that I will look at because there's some things that are going on. First of all, so we talked about the pre-talk in his question there, and a pre-talk is some time dedicated before the hypnosis session where you work with a client to remove common fears and misconceptions about hypnosis. Fears are like, gosh, am I going to get stuck in hypnosis? Am I in danger because I'm going to not remember what went on? And am I going to be out of control? And all that kind of stuff. And that doesn't really seem to be the issue here, but I suspect that this individual has a misconception about what hypnosis is going to be like. For example, if the individual thinks, I'm going to not think of anything, I'm not going to be able to do anything while I'm in hypnosis, and if that's what they believe, and then you ask them to do something, they may begin to fear that the hypnosis isn't working. And so that might be a source of fear. Another thing is that he wants to get to that, he's called working level of hypnosis, which five pathers, for example, define as at least the threshold of somnambulism, which is a deep level of hypnosis. And he wants to get that level of hypnosis and keep it to do the work such as age regression and really that powerful acceptance of even direct suggestion work. And so what I'm thinking about here is that I'm concerned that this individual is conflicted about stopping smoking. And that's one of the problems you can have. So guess what? Let me tell you what. Every smoker probably of the age over 25 want to quit smoking and keep smoking. Just like every drinker who's having trouble with abusing alcohol, both want to stop drinking and keep drinking. And everybody who's got a problem with eating too much chocolate, they want to stop eating chocolate and keep eating chocolate. So this is one of the things you want to make sure you have a really good list of benefits so that this individual will really sound like they're committed to doing the work of quitting smoking. Make sure they have a lot of good benefits. And if they can't come up with a bunch of really good benefits for quitting smoking, then I would wonder about if they're not conflicted and they're not really ready to do the work. Another thing that I'm thinking about here, okay, one, we got to talk to him about, make sure he understands that he can be in hypnosis and talk. He's got to understand that. But it sounds like a fear is coming up. And so you need to address that fear. And talk to the individual about fear comes from the perception that something bad might happen. What bad thing might happen if you talk while you're in hypnosis? Maybe the individual is afraid that if they start talking, they might cry or have some other emotion come up that would be embarrassing. So you really got to drill down to this individual and find out what's causing the fear. What are they thinking? What are they feeling? And one thing you could do is say, you know, feel the fear and just do it anyway. If they're actually losing the numbers, and in this case says he's lost the numbers around 97, I would assume they're doing the old-fashioned way of counting backwards, starting from 100 and then going deeper, relaxed, and 99, deeper, relaxed. If they've lost the numbers and they feel afraid, as long as the fear isn't about hypnosis, then that's fine. Just say, close your eyes and just keep going. Because unless the fear is about hypnosis, that's not going to be a problem. Finally, this is what once you get that done, maybe you want to learn instant induction so you can pop them right into that deep level of hypnosis right away. And one of the things you can do is look up the 8-word induction on hypnosiscenter.com in the articles section. There's a free article section. Just go there and look it up and learn about doing an instant induction. Okay, Kelsey, does it sound like I've covered that pretty well?
I think so. I mean, you've covered the fear. You've covered what he could do, maybe why it happened. I think you got it pretty much covered.
Good, good. Hey, this was quite a day. We did some supervision work today, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
What was that like for you? I mean, here we go into the classroom, and you and the other intern, you get stuck with me for about an hour and a half. Did you learn anything you want to send out to the universe there and tell everybody?
Well, I didn't bring my supervision notes with me. But I think one of the things that I learned, especially after going over some of the sessions that I've had over the past week or so, is that if the client isn't going in directly to revivification, that maybe you need to sit there and address, maybe they don't know exactly what's going on, or they're refusing to go because they are perhaps afraid, or they're just not deep enough. So there are other options instead of stammering and looking through the scripts and trying to figure out what to do.
Ah, yeah, I remember that. You were talking about a client of yours that you were having her, you're doing hypnotic age regression work, you're taking her back, and then you're asking, you know, the fabulous 5 questions. What's happening? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Is it familiar or new? And how old are you? And she would talk from a point of remembering instead of reliving it. And we talked about that a bit, and that there's really three reasons why that would happen. Kelsey, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you remember any of those?
I believe it's if they don't really understand exactly what they're trying to do, that you're not trying to remember it, that you're actually trying to re-experience it to get the full effect, is the first one. Is that right?
That's right. Sometimes they won't revivify, and by that I mean relive the experience, speak to the therapist or hypnotist from the point of view of reliving it. Then sometimes they just simply didn't understand the instructions. So you just say it to them again. You say, in a moment, I'll count from one to three. When I get to three, step into that picture and let it be as if it was happening all over again. Is that okay with you? When they nod their head, then you just go one, two, three, and pop them in there. What was the other one?
A second one would be if they're actually just refusing to go there, they're afraid of having to deal with it, then it's time to have a talk with them. Let them know that you can't do it for them and that this is a process that involves two people, that you're leading them, but they really have to do some of this work themselves. You can't bring them there. They have to do it.
That's right. You give them what we call the talk, and it'll be something like, if you believe that the reason that they're not revivifying is because they're becoming non-compliant, that they've decided to just not follow your instructions, and this is a protective response, right? What we want to do is tell them, I'll just have them open their eyes. I'll leave them in hypnosis, and I'll say, look, I believe I can help you, but in order for me to help you, you have to follow my instructions. So when I ask you to step into the picture and to speak from that perspective, you need to do that. And if not now, then when? If not this, then what? I want you to think about everything you've ever done to try to take care of this problem. Think about what you're going to do if we're not successful. So I'd like you to make up your mind now if you're going to follow my instructions or not. And then you just be quiet and you get them to say that they will. And so far, knock on some wood somewhere, everyone that I've done that with has decided to become compliant, and I was able to work with them then. But if they decided, no, I'm not going to do what you asked me to do, then, hey, the work is done, finished, kaput. You're not going to be able to help someone that's not going to join in this partnership that we call hypnosis. Oh, what was the third one, Kelsey?
The third one is that they just aren't at that state of somnambulism yet where they can be reliving it. There is a technical word that I've forgotten that has to do with being able to actually feel like you're in the situation. I think I learned it in class, but I've been learning so much over the past couple of weeks that it's fallen out.
That's okay. Your clients don't know the word revivification. Is that the word you're looking for?
I don't think so. There's another word that, never mind. It has to do with a level of somnambulism that you need to be at, a level of hypnosis.
The minimum of a threshold of somnambulism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you believe that they're, you know, understand the instructions and that they are compliant as they can possibly be, then the other reason why they would not be reliving it is that they are not deep enough in hypnosis. And so you'd simply tell them, that's okay, I know exactly what to do, and just follow these instructions, deepen them out, and then do another covert test for somnambulism. Good. Is that helpful to you, Kelsey?
It was really helpful to me. Oh boy, if I knew then what I knew now.
Oh, you're a chip off the old block, I'll tell you. Okay, good. Well, we got a few more minutes. You got a dumb hypnotist trick for me to talk about?
I actually have a selection of three today. I came kind of, well, you gave it to me, but I'm kind of prepared. So the first option is criticizing your client. The second is using grandiose names for themselves or their centers. This would be the hypnotists. And letting your client fall asleep and calling that hypnosis.
So I get to pick? Is that the way it goes?
Yep, you get to pick.
Oh, you're so much more kind than Celeste. She just tell me what to do all the time.
I'll tell her that you said that about her.
I think she might see this. Okay, let me see. What was the first one?
The first one was criticizing your client.
Okay, I want to do that one today. I think I'm going to do another one of those three in the next episode. But the first one is going to be criticizing your clients. All of my students know that hypnosis is a confidence game. That's Banyanism number one, I think. And I say that all the time because we've got to remember that if we don't get our clients' confidence, then there's going to be no game. That's right. Hypnosis is a confidence game. If you don't get their confidence, there's going to be no game. And so what we do is we make sure that we're constantly building our clients' confidence. We do that in the way we present ourselves. We do that in the way that we communicate with the client. And we want to build confidence in three major areas. One, confidence in hypnosis. We might talk about that hypnosis has been recognized by the American Medical Association. We want them to have confidence in us. And then we want them to have confidence in themselves. And if a client isn't doing what they need to be doing or responding in the way they should be responding, we don't want to criticize them either in the pre-hypnosis interview or in the pre-talk or in the actual hypnosis session. For example, let's say I was doing the iLock convincer and I would say something like this to my hypnotized client who I have already covertly tested for a deep level of hypnosis like somnambulism. I would say, okay, in a moment, I'll count for 1 to 3. When I get to 3, your eyes will lock down, glued shut, zip tight. Here we go. 1, eyelids are locking down, gluing shut. 2, twitching and tightening, tighter and tighter, squeezing shut. 3, lock down, glued shut, zip tight, squeeze tighter and tighter. Now, at that moment, if their eyelids are not squeezed tight, I can't complain about it. I can't criticize them. I can't say, hey, what part of lockdown, glued shut, zip tight, squeezing tighter and tighter didn't you understand? Because then they're going to think that either I'm mad at them, or they'll think that they can't do this, or that the hypnosis isn't working, or something like that. So what you do is, here's another Banyanism. Praise is the simplest secret to success, okay? You want to praise your clients. Constantly look for reasons to praise your clients. So if I don't get what I want, then I'll praise them for what I have and then resuggest it in a different way. For example, I just counted from 1 to 3. Let's say the eyelids are not squeezed tight. I'll say, good, beautiful, stop testing. It's the nature of human beings to do better with practice. In a moment, we're going to do that again, and this time you'll find it's 10 times more powerful. And I want you to squeeze those eyelids down so tight that even I can see it. Here we go. 1, eyelid squeezing, twitching, tightening. 2, tighter and tighter. 3, lockdown, glued shut, zip tight, tighter and tighter. Now they're going to be really squeezing tight, and then you can say, try to open them, but you cannot. Try to open them, but you cannot. Try to open them, but you cannot. And you see, when you praise your clients, they become more confident, more compliant, and it tends to be a reward, a reinforcer, and increases the probability that they're going to be more compliant in the future. So there you go. Dumb hypnotist trick. Criticizing your client, never do it, and you'll never be a dumb hypnotist. How's that, Kelsey?
Sounds pretty good.
Good. Anything you want to add?
Not just yet. I don't think I have anything else right now.
Okay, then why don't you wrap up the show for me then, like Celeste always does.
Let me see if I can fill these shoes. Thanks so much for listening/watching today. Make sure to post your questions on the Ask Cal group at ourhypnospace.com, and let me know if you have any comments or questions for me at kelsey@ourhypnospace.com.
And this is Cal Banyan. Remember to visit hypnosiscenter.com to find out lots and lots of articles, lots and lots of hypnosis information, our training schedule. Also go to Banyan Hypnosis Mall for all the good stuff hypnotists want. You don't have to be the lonely hypnotist. No matter where you are in the world, there's a place for you at www.ourhypnospace.com. And also you can send your questions, like Kelsey said, to askcal.ourhypnospace.com. All right, this is Cal Banyan. Signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.